Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. I am super excited today to interview our next guest, who is Letty Burgdorf. She's mom, a wife, advocate, entrepreneur, visionary, and superwoman. And that's what I think of you, Letty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's a little too kind.
I don't think so. So you have what I consider a fascinating story. You have lived in our area for 22 years in Rosemary Beach, the beautiful Rosemary Beach, new urbanism community that I think is one of my favorites, actually. Mm. I think Rosemary Beach just embodies like, oh my God, like very European, but also like a place that you really can live there. It doesn't feel so much like a resort town, even though, of course, in the summer it probably does. But I don't know. I just think it was a very well done town. And concept.
I agree.
And so your story is fascinating to me. So I know your daughter, Hunter, because she does some photography work for us and she does a great job. And then recently we've actually sat down and talked to her about transforming a book that we're publishing in March into a screenplay, which I don't know if she told you about, mm-hmm. but she had some really good ideas about that. And I just love her. I don't know your other daughter, Hannah, but I love Hunter so much. She's such a good person, smart and on the ball. And I really feel like I know you a little bit more from knowing Hunter, you know, like the mom behind, you know, this wonderful child that you raised. And you homeschooled Hunter because she wanted you to homeschool her. And she asked you, which I think at 5 years old was something way beyond any 5 year old normal, intellect or capacity to vocalize, mom, I want you. I mean, you know, how evolved is Hunter at 5 years old that she asked you that? And then in turn, you, her mom, said, okay. So that's the genesis of the story, right? So take us on that journey about how that little decision and request has yielded where Ohana Institute is today. And you starting out homeschooling your daughters and 17 kids before. I'll let you take it from there.
Thank you. Excuse me. Hunter is very creative. And she has her own way of thinking about things, which I love so much. And there are a lot of kids like that, that have their own ideas, and you should empower those ideas, right? So having her home and then having Hannah and having her home, they were two different kids, but how beautiful that they were able to come together and study together and to be a part of that learning process. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. and we exposed them to so many different cultures that they understood, mm-hmm. that everyone everywhere is the same. Mm-hmm. They may look different. Mm-hmm. They may have a different culture or speak differently, but they love just like we love.
Exactly.
They, you know, get jealous or they might not like something or, you know, they're learning new things. So it was really important to me, mm-hmm. that my kids understood that. Mm. So as we began to homeschool and we moved to Rosemary Beach and there was another kid that wanted to be part of our life. And so she lived with us three nights a week and now she works for Deloitte. And then there were 17 kids. There were 8 kids and then 17 kids. And so for a few years, it was such a joy to bring all of them together to learn. Mm-hmm. And I had another mom that helped me, and then I hired someone else. And to see that these kids really knew what they wanted. Mm-hmm. They really knew who they were. Having this type of learning gave them the opportunity to explore it even more and to follow their heart. So it was a beautiful time. And having kids who lived in Bali, and the Ragsdale students lived in Bali, and the senior's daughter lived in South Africa, and how beautiful to come together and learn from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. So having them on Florida Virtual School and then also hiring 4 teachers on top of that to do projects together. So it was intercurricular projects and them be able to grow in that. But to set their their own path, kinda. And so we talk about student-led a lot, and that's really it. You have to help a student know who they are, what they want, mm-hmm. and how to guide them for the right path, right? Mm-hmm. So this is kind of what we did. And after a couple of years, the parents came to me and said, would you start a real school? Well, I didn't really grow up in America, so I wasn't really sure what all that looked like. But I took my homeschool values and brought them into that and focused on core values and time for themselves and time to serve others. Those were three really critical things.
So at that time, when you had the 17 kids that you were homeschooling, had the name Ohana Institute been there, or was that just a homeschool?
It was a homeschool. And then I asked them, if we start a school, like, what do you want to call it? And Ohana was our word, because when I homeschooled my kids, I wanted to teach them a little bit about finances and business, the little that I knew. And so I asked my girls, like, what do you want to call our business? Because we're going to do like design, because that's what we liked. And that's what I liked. And so they were like, let's call it Ohana because it means family. And family means no one's left behind or forgotten. So then when we started Ohana Institute, I said, okay, guys, what are we going to call this? And they said, let's call it Ohana. And I said, yes, I would love that.
So the kids actually did. That's just representative of all that you're doing here, empowering and growing and letting people, even little people, be free. And I think that in my own personal opinion, you know, people underestimate children so much, and they almost discard them because of their underestimating, like, all that they really know and think and can be. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is you've created this environment that they're not getting squelched and they're not getting pushed aside or, you know, subdued.
Right.
Like, who wants to be? I mean, I think we learn, even in my generation, you learn to be subdued because institutional learning platforms, that's what they're really doing, you know, and regimenting you mm-hmm. and relegating you. Thankfully, I was a, you know, crazy, my own person, my own spirit way back then. So I could not be regimented, which is a good thing.
Yes.
But anyway, what you're doing is great.
Thank you.
So then you got some, you had your office space, or not your office space, but your school was above Paradis in Rosemary Beach. Was that the first place?
The first place was above what's now Edwards.
Okay.
So it used to be the wine bar, Medusa Rouge, mm-hmm. way back in the day mm-hmm. when Shane and Dana had it. And so our little school was above that. And we had probably 8 to 9 kids at one time. Mm-hmm. And then we started growing. So I went to Jeff Dungan mm-hmm. From Dungan Niquette. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I have your space? I said, I have all these kids and you're not here anymore. And so he's like, yeah. So I rented that okay. space, which is now Sowall House. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's so beautiful to see that growing mm-hmm. and having the energy, you know, mm-hmm. The good energy. And then we ended up having the whole floor except for one space by the time we were finished. And then it got too crazy. You know, the pickup line, the drop-off yeah. line was right. down 30A. It was just too much.
And how many students were in that facility?
130.
Wow.
And so we had to leave there.
Oh.
Because it was too many kids. And so thank goodness that the family just was so kind to us, and we went to 30 Avenue.
Tina and Brian Core, yeah. who really produced and made a beautiful addition to our community in their 30 Avenue, which we were talking about before, about how just very uptown it is to be a kid in this town, to go to Ohana Institute and be in that environment, which is like, you know, the Rodeo Drive of our area. And you have 4,500 square feet throughout.
Have a lot.
Oh,
more than that. That's the high school.
Oh, just that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The K through 12 is almost 20,000. And then the STEM lab is like 2,200. The day school is about 2,000. And the art is about 2,200. So it's a lot, but I'm so grateful for them. We would never have been able to do this any other way. I knocked on people's doors for a very long time before he was so gracious to open the door to us. And, but there's a point here is that our kids needed to get out of school at lunch and be in the community. Mm-hmm. They needed to learn to do financial transactions mm-hmm. when they're ordering mm-hmm. lunch. They needed to learn to speak up and order what they wanted. Mm-hmm. It was important that they went as a group, you know, the three or more together. It was important that the local businesses understood that our kids were people too, mm-hmm. and that they can be respectful mm-hmm. and they can learn these skills. Mm-hmm. And so it was all of us working together. That was the beauty of Rosemary. And now it's the beauty in 30 Avenue.
So is there a big line going in and out now to 30 Avenue with the drop off and pickup?
We've had to change our car rider line a couple of times. Okay. To accommodate, because it's dangerous on 98. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's just beyond impressive.
Thank you.
Talk about some of the ethos. Would that be correct in saying that your three core values would be encourage, nurture, and educate? And then did you actually war game those three principles that you wanted always to permeate through the Institute?
So there are five. I call it the shell model. S is for safety and security. So the kids feel super comfortable in their space, whether it's how it looks, whether it's with their teacher, with their peers. And even the littles travel to different places in the school so they can connect to different teachers. Okay. It's really important. Okay. Holistic is the H. So it's all about the student. You know, who are you? How do you learn? What can we do to help you be the best human you can be, right? And what experiences can we offer you through a holistic value that will help you do that? And then the E is for experience. So we want them to travel. We want them to do PBLs where they have to research with experts and bring different curriculums together and just make it meaningful. School mm-hmm. should be meaningful, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be, well, why do I need to learn this? Well, right. Let's do this project and we'll show you. It's real world.
Right.
And then the first L is for loving ourselves. So we do 10 minutes of quiet time every day. No phones, no computers. They can write, they can draw, they can pray, they can meditate. I'm really fine with anything. They can sleep if they need to for 10 minutes, as long as there's no talking. They need to connect to one another through here, and they need to connect to the source of who they are. And the second L is for loving others. So we have 4 days a year as a school where we serve other people, whether that's through Aliqua, whether it's through Food for Thought, even though we do a lot with Food for Thought, but whether it's helping clear the dunes, or during Hurricane Michael, we went and worked on houses. And so super important that these values, educating kids is important, and that nurture is so important mm-hmm. on all of our ends, you mm-hmm. know, really important.
Have you seen any withdrawn or shy child that came to you and then watched them blossom as you were doing something very different? That must be the most rewarding part of what you're doing.
You're making me sweat now. I'm so excited. Yes, I've seen so many kids, and you would know some of them, but they came and they would be crying, you know, and you give them an instrument and you help them see that music could be their vehicle to share their heart, right? And all of a sudden they're like growing and changing.
Thriving,
expressing who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to watch.
So I remember well before I met you, maybe it might have been 8 or 10 years ago, where I had seen on social marketing wherever that you had taken some of your students to Italy. And did you take them to Spain as well?
We've been everywhere.
You've been everywhere. Mm-hmm. And how many are traveling en masse when you do this?
It depends. The most I've ever taken was 62 people.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. How many chaperones needed to be on that trip?
We usually do 1 per 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And how long are you gone?
It depends. Okay. When we went to Singapore and Hong Kong and China and Australia and New Zealand, we were gone a month.
No.
We went to Hawaii and came back. So that's kind of our route.
And do you do this every year?
We did until COVID hit.
Okay.
Yes. And now we do a lot of service trips. We go to Nicaragua. Okay. We go to, we've been to Panama. We've been so many different places. And we are planning to do more of those larger trips in time. But we were in New York. Our theater teacher, Miss Maddie, took mm-hmm. families. There were probably 12 families mm-hmm. To see theatrical performances. It was beautiful. Wow. She did such a great job. We've had kids go to Nashville with Mr. Dan, and they learn all about the business of music, and it's just an incredible experience. So
this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Wow. The luck, the blessed, the lucky, whatever word you want to use, thank the you. Children that are in our area that you have created this place and space is obviously otherworldly, you know, not too many people get to enjoy this. That is amazing. So
thank you.
How is it funded? How are you fundraising also for
we
this?
Do. Okay. We do a lot of fundraising. But I want to go back and say that I always joke around because you got to laugh about everything.
Yes, you do.
And I say, you know, you got to take care of these kids because one day they're going to be taking care of you.
Right, right. So you're pouring in.
Yes. Yeah, so we really try to do that. But we have a tuition amount. And I won't get into that too much. Okay. But the county raised teachers' salaries. And so, of course, I would love to pay my teachers $100,000 a year, you know.
Right.
So we had to raise our tuition to $18,000, which was really against my thing because this is out of love, right?
Right, it's not, it is, yeah.
It's not out of anything else. It's a nonprofit.
Right.
And so we have the tuition, which pays for our staff and some of the building and, you know, everything that goes with that. Then we fundraise. We have to for extra projects, for any type of curriculum increase, or we write grants, you know, for those kind of things. So if a subject area needs something, then we will always try to fundraise or we'll try to work on a grant for that. But like even our activities outside, because we have a golf thing out in the back. And so Jonathan was instrumental in helping get people to donate to that. So through donations and people just being great, just amazing, just willing to help.
It's
fantastic.
That's well. If you build it, they will come, right? I mean, sometimes you just have to live off Field of Dreams, right?
Absolutely. That's how I live. And I've learned, though, to be more organized. And I've learned to plan more. But it's really not in my DNA. Yeah. So I try to hire people who compliment me in that. Because if I'm left to my devices by myself, I can dream up so many things that, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
but it's so good.
Thank you.
Because you need dreamers and, you know, the world needs you and dreamers. Or else it would be a very boring place. So what was your background? I did a little research on your background and is it right that what was your original plan? Were you going to be a doctor?
I was going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
My whole family, they're all doctors.
Okay.
So they made a lot of fun of me for not going to medical school.
Okay. But
my dad was an OBGYN. My brother's a dentist. My uncle's an ear, nose, and throat. My aunt as a psychiatrist, and all the cousins are, you know, ear, nose, and throat, and, you know, whatever in the medical field. Yes. So they all made fun of me for not, you know, going to medical school. When Hunter was born, my brother was in Boston, and he's like, please come up here and go to school with me. I'm like, I can't. I have a baby. Like, you know. So I was a pre-med major for 3 years, and I took organic chemistry, and I was like, why am I doing this? I'm creative. Like, I love people, you know, and I'm creative. Like, I need to study art. And so I'd already done all my Spanish classes because I'm fluent in Spanish. And I had so much biology, you know, so I minored in those two things. But then I started just going at it 24 hours a day in art. And I traveled and did papers on architecture, and I was able to graduate within a year of doing that. And it was a little crazy, but I finished. And so my degree is really in art. It's a fine arts degree.
Okay. And do you still dabble in that? Or is this your art?
This is my art. Yes. Yeah, I would love one day to go back to that, but you know, I like people too much.
Yeah. It was, that's
not
too
old yet.
Yeah. No, you can pick it up in your later. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe it will. Yeah. How hard is it to get a school accredited? I have no idea how hard that can be and what's involved.
Yeah. So the first year Ohana Institute was Ohana Institute. Dr. McAllister from Panama City and his team came, and it's months and months of preparation. You have so many guidelines that you have to follow. What, like, the teachers all have to give you their scope and sequence, like, perfectly to know exactly what they're doing every day, and that has to be part of the fold. Your safety and security has to be part of that. It's just so much. It takes months and months to get it all together. But he came, and it was so sweet. I felt so honored because he said, I came here for 3 days to teach you, and you guys have taught us. And I was like, wow, we're really doing a good thing, you know? And it really is because we care. Mm-hmm. And they knew that we cared about mm-hmm. the kids. Mm-hmm. And I mean, today I get so many comments from people saying, you know, we think at our schools and even private schools that we're doing incredible things to provide the most innovative, you know, opportunities for the kids. But when we come to your conference every year, your kids are talking to one another. Your kids are speaking to their teachers. Your kids are actually collaborating and learning together. And we see it. And that's what matters. And so I'm super proud of our kids and our staff for having that forethought as well to really get in there and dig, you know.
Well, you created a free environment, and that's why they can mm-hmm. freely talk, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, freedom. And really, isn't that what we're all looking for? No matter what age or stage in our life, we're looking and searching for freedom.
Absolutely. And but the key is, with freedom, there's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And
accountability.
Accountability, yeah. Yeah. So when they're, you know, the freedom gives them a chance to explore different areas of learning, but they have to be responsible to follow through with mm-hmm. their lessons, you mm-hmm. know, and actually assimilate it and learn it, not just taking in information and spitting it back out, but really, because our grading scale is 0 to 5. It's a mastery scale. So I don't believe that a kid should read something, take it in, spit it back out. How can you master the material? How can it be so meaningful that you could actually teach it back to someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the purpose of this 0 to 5 scale, to begin to really learn the material. When you're in school, it's a spiral. You start in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, and you learn. And every year you come back and you learn a little more and a little more. So how can you master this?
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your Ohana Records mm-hmm. and where that is right now, where it's going.
Ohana Records, my kids were musical, mm-hmm. Are musical, I guess. Hannah was a drummer, and she was fantastic. And I don't know if you remember Doc Severinsen uh-huh. from The Tonight
yeah,
Show
I do.
Or whatever
I do.
It was called. And mm-hmm. And so he, you know, they came and they saw our kids play and everything. And he's like, if she was older, I would take her with me, you know. But she said, Mom, I can't really like make a living, I don't think, as a female drummer. So I'm going to nursing school.
How old was she then?
She was 12.
Okay, well.
11 or 12. But anyway, it was funny.
She knew.
But Ohana Records was, uh-huh. it was a process uh-huh. of helping students be able to express themselves, to learn to work together. So it's a band program that has about 5 kids in each band, and they get to explore all the different instruments. And then together they have to work to figure out what song do we want to play as a band. And so it takes a lot of working at this because they don't all agree on the genre of music and who, you know, what they're going to do. So one person has to step up as the vocalist and kind of the lead of the band. So it's interesting to watch this process play out. And I always tell them, when you're in a job, you're working with people, you may not appreciate or like them too much. So this is where you learn how to figure out how to do that.
The art of negotiation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's about having a challenge in life, mm-hmm, and thinking of different ways you can solve those challenges. And so that's what music does through your brain. Mm-hmm. It has this way of, I'm not a scientist really, but it has a way of teaching you how to think differently. And it's also, there's also this thing called loneliness that people deal with, all of us have at times, mm-hmm, in our lives. And I never want that to be the case. And this is an instrumental way to force people, mm-hmm, to really come together and learn to work together, because, mm-hmm, loneliness is located in your limbic system where you, you know, you breathe and you get hungry and have, mm-hmm, to eat. Mm-hmm. So that tells you connectivity is what's needed to solve this situation. So I'm all about, let's get together, let's work it out. You know, we're always going to find a way.
That's fascinating, and agree with you on all points. And then when the pandemic happened and that connectivity was thwarted, how did you get through that time? And how did the kids get through that time?
It was remarkable.
Okay.
So we went home, I forgot what day, middle of March or so. And Jeannie and I still, Miss Jeannie, our principal, I still went to school every day, and we would have kids on their computer with their teacher. So they went through their whole, all their classes all day, and Miss Jeannie and I would go into different classes and view them so that we made sure, you know, everybody was doing the right thing. Kids were showing up, you know, that kind of thing. And it was really special because if students weren't on their computers for their class, they would start texting each other. Where's so-and-so? You know, they need to get on their computer. And some kids would be sleeping or whatever, you know, and they'd get up and come to class. It was beautiful. But after about a month of that, I'm like, we cannot do this. This is not good for these kids. And I said, we all need to be together. We've got to figure this out. So every day the rules would change, you know. So we decided, I had a company called Protect to put in, mm-hmm, the UVB lights, mm-hmm, in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So all the surfaces were clean for 3 hours every night. Oh. And we had this thing called Iggy put in the school where you put your hands in and it totally cleans your hands completely. Uh-huh. Every class, the kids would wipe down the tables and just make sure that they were clean. Mm-hmm. Everything was clean. And they wore masks. So we came back to school after about 6 weeks or
that's
so.
Good.
And it was really important to see their faces. And they said to me, it doesn't matter what we have to do. We want to be in school. I said, fantastic. When you're inside, you're wearing a mask, uh-huh, and stay away from each other as best you can. But I'm a hugger, so it's hard
right,
for me.
Right, right.
But when we're outside, let's have as many classes as we can outside, mm-hmm, and you're fine. So we knew where every student and staff were at all times, mm-hmm, in case there was a, mm-hmm, sickness, and then, mm-hmm, we could follow it and send people home.
Wow. And as a general rule during that time, was it pretty much COVID free?
No.
No.
But it was as best, you know, as we could, well, we could do. Yeah. But we started a virtual academy. Yeah. And so the kids that couldn't come back to school or weren't comfortable, right, enough, yeah, coming back to school, they went on the virtual academy. So, yeah, it worked out really, yeah, great.
We came back to work after 3 months. I would be coming in all the time, like, you know, you were when, mm-hmm, people had to stay home or whatever. But after 3 months, I just knew the way we operate and what our world is like, that it's better when we're together also. And, you know, forge through. And, you know, I never, it's just my own personal opinion. I didn't ever ascribe to the fact that people should stay working at home all the time and be completely alone and, mm-hmm, disconnected, and it doesn't work for the creative process that we have to do. And I'm sure I know just talking to you and listening to you that you feel the same way. You know, people need people. I love people too. Mm-hmm. And we weren't meant to be relegated to some bedroom and on a computer all day long. And
that's right.
I mean, I know some people like it. I don't like it. But
did your staff, I'm just asking, did they, were they okay coming back?
Yeah, they were. Great. They liked that's coming wonderful. Back and it felt normal to them. And we were all, you know, I mean, back then, you know, we didn't know what was going on. At the 3 month mark, you know, I wasn't sure like how long is it going to last or a lot more people going to die. I mean, I always felt like we had to just keep going and forging ahead and living life the with the cards that were dealt us. And I always felt fairly optimistic. Mm-hmm. In the back of my mind, I didn't actually know what was going to happen. Was our world going to be completely altered forever? Thankfully, we all found a way back, you know, I think. And it feels really, really good that that's sort of in the rearview mirror. That was crazy.
It was.
That's all I can say.
It was crazy.
It was crazy.
But I don't want to discount the people who were afraid.
I don't either.
Or were sick.
Yeah. We all got it at one point.
Yeah.
You know, and thankfully we're all okay.
I told the kids, I said, nobody's going to die on my watch.
Yeah.
So we're going to make sure that we're all taking care of one another.
Right. So tell me about some of the like accolades and awards that you've accumulated in the students and like the robotics and the Lego thing. And can you explain that? I researched it, but I'm like literally not smart enough to understand what happened. So can you explain it?
About robotics?
Well, like I have the fourth divisional simulation and then you teach JavaScript and then that progresses to Lego robots. So can you explain a little bit more about
that? Well, it is a progression. I mean, the kids, again, it's what they're interested in. So it's an elective, right? So, but the kids have, there's so many different types of awards that go with that. And one of the things that they get a lot, which I'm super proud of, is how they, their collaboration award. It's them working together. But yeah, I don't even know all the awards.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
it's okay.
But I love to see the progression. Once they get into classes in high school, they're really learning. I mean, the next step is actually cybersecurity.
Oh,
so
are you teaching that too?
Not yet,
but you get that far.
That will be the next level.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't get to go anymore to all of the different things.
Because you're growing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about your growth up to Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Yeah, it is. We only go where there's a need. Mm-hmm. And so our growth right now is the threes, fours, and young fives. And I call them the young scholars because they're actually being taught. The curriculum that the teachers teach them are perfect. I mean, they are learning. I wish you could see them at the beginning of the year and to the end of the year and how they're reading by the time they're in kindergarten. And it's just empowers them. Well, in kindergarten, they really learn to read, but they're prepared for it. And it opens up their world, you know? So that is a program that's very meaningful to me because it is the foundation of their learning. So I would love to do babies and two-year-olds, but honestly, it's hard to keep teachers because you're changing diapers all day. So
it's
we start at three and they're potty trained. But we have friends in Boston and the Cambridge area that really had a space and wanted us to open a space there because the highly intellectual people that strive for that in that area, it's a good challenge for us, but also to offer this type of learning is very different than what is offered in other places. For example, I say our core values drive our learning. So we're not a religious school, but good values. Like this month, it's caring. We have family. We have gratefulness, global citizenship, you know, ethics. All of those things drive who you are as a person. And so even the littles are getting that in their lessons. And then once or twice a month, we get everyone together to do a project that's focused on that core value. But it is integrated into their curriculum mm-hmm. as best that they can, you know.
And is that school open now or is it going to open?
It's not. It's, okay. It's going to be open. Okay. And then we're opening one in Grand Boulevard. And then we're opening one possibly in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. I've been in Miami looking at spaces, with South Carolina. Wow. So it's just wherever people call me and yes. say, we really need this. And I go explore and see if it's something that we can do.
Well, I was going to ask if this overwhelms you, but that it would be not a very smart a question because you don't look overwhelmed at all.
No, I love it. Like the band program that we start in school started because during COVID, the kids disappeared, basically. Mm-hmm. They couldn't find them. Mm-hmm. So Julie and Brett Martin came with Alan and I, and we literally repainted this whole three rooms. We created a podcast room. We created band rooms, a listening room. And the first day at Olson Middle in Fort Lauderdale, they had maybe four or five kids. And the next day, there were like 20 and 30. And kids started coming back to school because they were empowered through music. Music is the yeah. universal language, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a beautiful way to interact together. So we're doing those as well.
Well, I don't think my superwoman description of you was that over the top at listening to everything that you've done. Sweet. What I like to do on most of the podcasts, if not all, is ask somebody like yourself for listeners that are out there. So what is the key that you figured out how to unlock seamlessly where you see a need and you want to do something, or you just don't think about something and its consequences, you just go and embark and do something? Creating change and doing something completely different for the better. What would you say to somebody like a nugget where you don't have to be constrained or you don't have to have restraints? If you feel like there's a need, go do it. Like, what's the key?
Well, for me, I have to vision it first. I have to envision a general vision of how I can serve people. And then as I find joy in that, it starts coming to me. And I don't really know how that works, but I'll get a phone call from someone. Hey, have you thought about coming here or going there? Then the second key thing is to not be attached to the outcome, mm-hmm. like see your plan, mm-hmm. like see where you want to go, but allow it to like flow, you know, and don't be attached to how that works. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is hire the right people because I'm not great at a lot of things, believe me. And I've made a lot of mistakes and I have chosen wrong so many times. And there are people here that can tell you that, but in my heart of hearts, I really do have the best intention. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that people are getting what they need. And this is a way to do it. And when we have the right people in the right places, how fun is it to work together? Right. You know, and I have an amazing husband who we work side by side, just like you guys yeah. do. Mm-hmm. And it is between the both of us, mm-hmm. he has great ideas mm-hmm. as well. And he works really hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm just easy, like whatever, I'm happy to walk into it. Right. You know, I'm not scared of the unknown. Like right. it's fine for me.
Right.
And I'll stand there and look and I'll figure it out, you know. Oh. And that's not normal. And a lot of people need to be safer than that.
Yeah.
But that's just who I am. And I make, you know, mistakes sometimes because I step into something I don't really know about.
Right. But that's okay.
But it's okay.
You're learning just mm-hmm. like, you know, you're propagating learning, right? We're all learning and we keep learning and mistakes aren't bad. You just try to not make it again.
Correct.
Or yeah, that's what
I or you know what not to do, right?
Right, next right, time, right. Yeah. I have made a few again and again this, and I'm like, okay, the next time I'm not going to really do that again. But well, you're an inspiration.
Thank you.
You can just see and hear and feel your passion. You're, you know, a true organic person that's just doing your thing. And I think it's remarkable.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your time and your morning with us. I appreciate it, Letty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening and watching V Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.